Oh, thank you. Hi, ladies. It's my pleasure to introduce Deidre Johnson to you tonight as she's going to speak to us. She gave me her brief intro, her bio, and I love it. So she said she was born and raised in a Christian home and saved at a young age. She taught second grade for 6 years before she met and married Jesse, and then together they served in a college ministry, which I didn't know that. That's amazing. So then they moved here, and they've been at Emmanuel for 10 years. They have three daughters who are 13, 11, and 8, and they're all three such a blessing. They're so sweet. And Deidre loves to homeschool her girls, have good conversation, and go hiking, which is fun. She shared her favorite family tradition with me, which I love, and I know y'all are going to think it's super cute. She said, when one of her three girls loses a tooth, they all head down to the basement for a slumber party, and they have tents and stuffed animals, and they stay up all night talking. And then in the morning, they were visited by the tooth mouse, which gives them candy and coins, and they all share with each other. And Deidre just said she loves it because her daughters are building such a sweet relationship with each other, having fun memories like that. So I think that's a super sweet tradition. So join me in welcoming Deidre. Thank you.
It does make it easy with three daughters to have lots of girly slumber parties, and they all love talking, so it's quite easy for that to take place. Let's see, that looks like it's working. Well, I'm so glad that I'm actually here tonight because this is the perfect night. Do you know what's happening downstairs? Some of you do. Tonight is the sexual purity talk for the youth group, so I'm getting to miss that, so thank you. my daughter and I will catch up on the way home, maybe. But thank you. Really, thank you. I actually am really grateful to be here, and I just, I love the theme that you all have this year of walking with God in motherhood, and that is so important that we not separate our motherhood from the Lord. And it was actually on a walk with Rachel where she asked me to come here tonight with all of you and speak on this topic about walking obediently. So it seemed fitting that on a walk we talked about that. And it seems like a lot of good things happen on a walk. So in some ways, I wish that all of us could go on a little hike right now rather than being in a classroom setting and have a discussion about this. But I'm also really excited to share with you what the Lord has taught me through studying and not just having a conversation. So I do love studying the Word of God, and I love seeing what He reveals and just the whole process of how He guides us through His Word. It's really quite amazing. So the first verse that popped into my mind when I thought about walking obediently was this verse here. And you all have handouts, I think, at your table. And I've written down the scriptures on the handouts. That way you don't have to just hear it. It's sometimes helpful to see it. So Colossians 2, 6-7 was the verse that popped into my head when I heard about our theme for tonight. And it's therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And I just, there's so many scriptures to choose from about walking in the Word of God. That is such a great example of how we walk out our faith, we walk out our obedience. But it sounds so simple, doesn't it? We learn to walk at about 1 year old, and we're walking the rest of our life, and it's really not that complicated. It's not that hard to do. So does that mean our walk with the Lord is pretty easy and simplistic and pretty self-explanatory? Well, not really. Sometimes we actually can make our walk with the Lord very complicated and confusing and even kind of cumbersome. I think we pack on things to ourselves to do that maybe aren't what Paul meant by walk in Him. And so we kind of need to go back to see, what does that mean that we walk in Him? And I know a lot of us here tonight come tired. We have done the carpool thing probably, 8 times today? Or we have, you know, done all the errands today, or we cleaned the house today, or something, right? We all did something today. And so we all have a lot of responsibilities. You're helping your kids with homework. You're maybe teaching your kids, and you're keeping your home, and you're working, and you're creating healthy meals, and you're trying to stay healthy. And all of it just seems kind of overwhelming sometimes. And I know that we also desire to grow as a Christian woman. And we want to do the right things when it comes to studying the word and being involved at church. So we add on all the things. Awana, we add on trail life. Anyone else doing these things? We add on youth group. We add on ABFs. We add on bringing our friends meals. We add on, and the list goes on. So all of a sudden, we ask ourselves the question, am I doing enough? And that little voice gets creeping in our head and says, you're not doing as much as her. And, well, she's able to do all that, and her kids can do this. Why can't my kids do this? And you start getting mad at your kids. And then, of course, that involves anxiety. And all of a sudden, you're like, I need a break. And why is this all happening? I feel so overwhelmed. I don't know if you can relate with me, but I think we've all been at this place at times in our motherhood where we just feel overwhelmed and we feel like we're just kind of by a thin string hanging on. And so I want to encourage us to look back at what it means when he commands us to walk in him. And I think that a lot of times we create things that aren't there that we think we need to obey that we don't. So let's simplify this. What does it mean to obey him? And what is our daily conduct supposed to look like? And so where do you think we should look if we want to be in alignment? I love the idea of being in alignment because I know when my back's out of alignment, it's very hard to even walk. So how can we become in alignment with the word of God? And what does he desire for us? Well, I think that our greatest commandment in the word is to love the Lord your God with all of your entire being. And the second is to love your neighbor. So we can get really bogged down with all the commands of Scripture and how we're supposed to obey. But the main idea, and if you look at the heart of Scripture, is love. And I didn't pick this for February, but the Lord really led me to, let's take a step back. And when we're looking at being obedient, where do we start? And it really starts at the heart. And so I would like us to look at Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. And I'll just read it if you want to follow along. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Well, this very familiar passage was recited by Jews both morning and night. And so they were even more familiar with it than we are. And it, of course, sums up the Ten Commandments that Moses received. And we know that the first four commandments that were given to Moses were about our relationship towards God. And then the last six commandments, were about our relationship with other people. Doesn't God care about our relationships? He so much is a God that is a relational God. And he wants us to be in right relationship. So in the Old Testament, love for God was demonstrated by obedience to these laws. There were actually 613 commandments in the Old Testament. And of course, some of these were things like fear God, teach the Torah to your children, and don't converse with wizards. Be careful. And we want to know what obedience looks like. We have to look at the heart. We can't just look at the outward. And so I would say here in this kind of way that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord, and the greatest act of obedience is seen in love for the Lord. So I'm going to say that one more time. If the greatest commandment is to love the Lord, like we see in Deuteronomy, the greatest act of obedience is seen in loving the Lord. And we know that this cannot be done without regeneration. Obedience is seen in a person's love for the Lord, and not just the outward acts of obedience. And we kind of see this in two different settings. And first we see this with unbelievers, right? The most need for an unbeliever, the greatest need for an unbeliever, is to have love for the Lord. That's where the starting point comes. They can't do it on their own. They need the Lord to do it for them. And so that is, Jesus often confronts unbelievers when he had his time on earth in the New Testament with their lack of love for him. That was the main point. And if we look at, I was thinking of the passages in Mark 12, 28 through 34, and again in Luke 10, 25 through 29, we see a scribe and a lawyer and different people. Many people came to Jesus and would ask the question, what's the foremost commandment of all? How do I enter eternal life? How do I get into the kingdom? That question was often asked of him on earth, which is so neat to see how he responds. And he responds with our Deuteronomy verse every time. That's what he says. And it's to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourself. And that's really what it all boils down to. That's the heart of our walk with the Lord. And so it's so interesting to me that when Jesus gave them that answer, the scribe answered Jesus back intelligently, the word of God says. And then Jesus says, you're almost there, but you're not there yet. And he says, you understand the requirements of obedience, but you don't love me yet. And that was the problem. And that's what separated him from eternal life. And of course, the lawyer argued. That was his response. And he said, no one can keep all the commandments. Of course, it seems ridiculous. No one can do that. And he knew no one could do that. But his response was one of self-righteousness, thinking, I can get off because no one can do it. When really his response should have been, I need your mercy and I need your love and I need your forgiveness. And there should have been a desire for a relationship with God. Well, we know that as believers, you all, most of you ladies here, I know are just desirous to have hearts to be obedient, and you are saved and you are in the kingdom of God. And so we have this other category where we want to see obedience for true believers. And we know that we have the love of Christ and that we have love because he first loved us. And that's what makes us able to love him and love others. But this is also the core of our obedience to him. So this is not like an intellectual belief of the scribe, and it's also not a self-justified understanding like the lawyer, but it's more of a faith in Christ, which flows to a love for him and then produces obedience. So I'd like us to look at this passage, which was written for believers, and this is what John says in 1 John 5, 1 through 3. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Of course, he had to add that little last part, right? Really? But it's true. And I think that sometimes I see this equation I have down here. I actually received this in ABF the other week at Adult Bible Fellowship. And it was from this passage. And it just, the man who was speaking was saying that faith, when we have faith, which is a gift from the Lord, plus love, it equals obedience. And of course, this equation, like most math equations, you can kind of take the addition and run subtraction back or whatever. This cannot go backwards, can it? It can't be reversed. And if it is reversed, then we have legalism because we're sticking on obedience without love, like the scribe or the lawyer. So we can't reverse this equation. We know that sanctification is obedience, which is another way of saying that sanctification is growing in love for the Lord. And that's where we're all at. We all desire to grow in our sanctification. I know we all want to become more like Christ and love him more. So we see that obedience and love really go hand in hand. But what about the, it's not burdensome? I know, like I was talking about at the beginning, sometimes life just seems burdensome. And I didn't even mention like the sorrows of life. You know, there's a lot of things that are also very sorrowful in life. But how are we supposed to obey when it says that the obedience is not burdensome? Well, I just didn't know this, and I learned this, but there's 1,050 commandments in the New Testament, and that can also seem burdensome. But again, just like the Old Testament, all of those commandments point back to loving the Lord and loving one another. Things like don't fear man, right? Because if we fear man, we're worrying about them more than we are about the Lord. And put away anger and be patient. Those are all commands that we have, but they still, at the heart of it, is love of the Lord. And I know that sometimes I don't really feel motivated to love the Lord, and my love has grown cold, right? And And I don't think I've lost my first love. It's just that maybe my love has grown cold. And there's a lot of reasons for that, right? I mean, sin gets in the way and busyness gets in the way. And there's all sorts of reasons for it that we could go into. But some things that help me get back on track is kind of like a past, present, future way of thinking. And by this, I mean with remembering is I need to remember that I was bankrupt. I had nothing. I was the lawyer, the scribe. I was the person who had nothing to offer, and I was dead in my trespasses and sins. And so when I look at the gift of faith, it does overwhelm me with love for my Savior, and it brings a renewal of love and joy towards Him. And then secondly, I need to recognize. Sometimes I need to recognize what Christ has done for me. He made the perfect sacrifice, and He paid for me, and today I stand presently righteous. I have His clothes on. I have His righteous robe on. And to think that I actually am standing before the Lord with Him looking at me righteously because of Christ's sacrifice, it brings great peace and great comfort to me in a time when otherwise I might not be. And then thirdly, riches. I did all R's, but I'm sorry, they're not exactly parallel ideas, but whatever. I'm just trying. Riches, I was thinking ahead to the future. And, you know, the Lord has such beautiful promises to us, doesn't He? In His word, there is an inheritance for us that's imperishable, cannot be taken away. And we have so many promises for our future that I don't have time to go into. But you can if you want. And it definitely, I think, will give you a motivation to obey. So let's start with this greatest command. And, you know, I was thinking so many things in life can be burdensome. I had a little newborn at my house today, and I was thinking changing my baby's diapers wasn't so awful. Like, it was dirty and gross, but it wasn't so awful. But changing someone else's baby's diaper was kind of awful. And I don't really love it, you know? But it's because I love that child so much that it makes me serving them very easy, you know? And I think that's the same. When we love the Lord, it's easier. And it's much easier to obey Him. The psalmist says, I desire to do your will. And he also says, your statutes are my delight. And so sometimes it's good to go back and say, is that true of me? Are His statutes, are His commands really a delight to me? Are they a desire to me? What am I desiring more than those things? So at this time, I was thinking about trying to transition a little bit. The ladies were telling me that it's very helpful when there's some practical pieces of information. So that's kind of the idea behind it all of loving the Lord. I wanted to take a step back rather than looking at a bunch of commands or disobedience. I really wanted us to look at the motivation, which is at the heart. And I think that's actually the place we first kind of get off the right path, is that we're loving other things and we allow things to distract us. So how do we cultivate this kind of love in our home and in our hearts? So I just have some practical things here that our family has failed at and our family is trying to do. And the reason why I want to share these with you is just to encourage you in your own walk with the Lord in obedience. And I'm on that path right now. I still have little ones at home. I have not graduated at all. I'm still figuring this all out. But I also wanted to have this caveat kind of that I think as moms, we might not phrase it like this, but we think if we do all the right things, our children will be saved. And that's just not true. And there are principles that if we live by, there's principles in scriptures that oftentimes our children will walk with the Lord, right? But that's not a promise. And so I want to encourage you ladies, as our kids are young, to pray about their salvation and to trust the Lord with it. And don't think falsely that if I mess up, they're not going to get saved. And if I do it right, they will. Because that's a lie. And it's dangerous. And I think it puts way too much, actually, security in your own self. And we don't have that power. So I'd like us to look back at Deuteronomy 6 and the last part of it. And it says, you shall teach them diligently. And of course, this is our children, our little ones, to your sons, and you shall talk of them. And this is our love for the Lord and our love for others. When you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Well, where are we doing this? We see it sitting, we see it walking, we see it lying down, and we see rising up. And I just think it's all encompassing, right? That covers everything we do. It's all the time. And so a question for us is my love for the Lord and my obedience towards him a common subject in our home? Is it woven throughout the day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening? Is it just naturally woven, or am I trying to like lunchbox it, you know, put it all in a compartment and do it at one time? And it's just not beautifully woven out throughout the day. I'm just trying to fit it in and or send my kids somewhere else so that they can learn obedience. Or am I just weaving this in as a natural part of my day? And I think that it's very helpful to take a step back and ask ourselves how we can do that. What things am I doing that are distracting from that or hindering that, and what things are helping that? So here's some things we've tried. And again, please don't take these as like the to-do list, because that's kind of the opposite of what we're trying to do right now. And I also don't want you to think that these work for everyone. And it's really encouraging to know that the Lord has us each on our own path. We're talking about walking obediently, and we have to look to the Lord to walk obediently, not to our friend and what she's doing, and but to the Lord and ask him what he wants us to do. So here's a few things, and just to encourage your family to grow in their love for their Savior. So first of all, it starts with me, right? I want to be an example to my kids, so my obedience is where it starts. And really, how I grow is this is a relationship. Remember, God is relational. So the first place is in my devotions and being in the Word. So, you know, there have been times where I have tried doing the read through a year in the Bible. Who else is with me on that? Tried it? Yeah. And I've done it, and I've loved it at certain seasons. It's been really great and really mind-blowing to see the whole span of Scripture. But then there's other seasons. One of them is right now. And doing that seems very overwhelming. And I've started it, and I do my little check off, and that's all it is for me. It's not relational at all with the Lord. It's just checking it off. And so that's not been helpful. So for you, I think just asking the Lord, what is it in your time in the Word that helps you to most be relational with the Lord, where you're seeing who he is, you're getting to know him, and then you're getting to know yourself and what who you should be, and seeing what commands there are in the Word, and asking yourself, am I lining up with what this with what the Bible says? Now, it's very helpful sometimes to have accountability with other women, because we are relational. And so at times, coming to Emmanuel and being in a women's Bible study has been the best thing. And right now in the season I'm in with homeschooling and teaching seventh grade and that world, I am not able to come here on a Wednesday morning and do Bible study. But other things have happened that have worked out for accountability, like lunchtime at co-op has been a time where I've been able to do Bible study with other ladies, or there's just been other kind of times where you can fit it in. So if you need that accountability, just look and see where you can find that. And of course, not just being in the Word, which is, this is a very basic thing, but your prayer life. And I think that a lot of times we let these things go and we're not in the Word and we're not in prayer. But I remember in college, I took a class that was The Hour That Changed the World. Yeah, we were supposed to pray for an hour every day, and that worked in college, but that's not working now. So now I just wanted to show you, I love this prayer journal, and I'll leave it up here if you want to look at it. This is an empty one because I'm not sharing all my secrets with you. But it is, it's a wonderful way to just journal all the things that you want to pray about. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but in my prayer life, I get overwhelmed with like, I need to pray for the government, and I need to pray for my pastors, and I need to pray for my mother-in-law. And this is a great way to journal. It kind of breaks it down, and then you can pray for it. And then at the end of the month, journal kind of how the Lord has answered those things. So that has been a very helpful tool for me to grow in my love for the Lord. And It's been great. So then let's broaden that a little bit to our families. And one more note on prayer. It's also been helpful for me to pray with other women. And there's a woman I pray with on Wednesday afternoons on the phone. And there's another woman I walk with early in the morning and pray with. So if you can fit that in your life and just kind of your rhythm of your life, that you're doing these relational things with the Lord with others, I think it just builds your intimacy and your friendships with other women too. So family devotions. Okay. Family devotions for us has been hard. We are often not home in the evenings. So to even do devotions is very difficult. So then there was this one year where I thought, we'll do Advent every night in December. No, it did not work. Like by December 3rd, we were off track. And everyone was like grabbing the things on the table. And I mean, they were really little still, but whatever. It did not work for our family. So I realized this is actually not growing our love for the Lord right now. So we need to take a step back. Let's just do it once a week in December. So once a week for the 4 weeks we would do it. And that really did give us an opportunity to have a worship time as a family. And that's the purpose. So however you can organize it as your family, show your kids your love for the Lord, your love for the Word, and your time with Him. Because that's what we want to be an example to our kids. And of course, prayer time with our children. I think there was a season where I tried to start prayer journals with the girls and be very like organized. And I'm kind of an organized person and you need to be an organized person. And it just really turned into a spelling terror because they kept asking me how to spell things. And then I was getting frustrated and I was like, well, this is not really working. Put the journals away. So we got rid of our dollar store journals and did something else. And actually, if we look at this verse in Deuteronomy, really what we're supposed to be doing is throughout the day. And so I think we more have like moments a part of our day where we really want to take time to pray. And for instance, my girls will often, there's certain subjects that can be hard, and we have started praying before those subjects and asking for the Lord's help, because we know it's going to be a fight between me and them, or it's going to be them getting mad and throwing the thing. And so instead of that, we're going to pray ahead of time that the Lord would be with us and guide us and help us to have the right hearts. And so I think that has been one area where we've really been seeking the Lord and His help. Another one is just confessing our sin. When we sin against each other, we are trying to be quick to confess and just pray together. And that way we can hold each other accountable and pray for one another. And another one a friend gave me was they always prayed on the way to church as a family. And I just really love that. So when you get in the car, just start praying for one another, but confessing your own sin and getting right before the Lord, ready to worship. But then we would also pray for our pastors, pray for our Sunday school leaders, pray for the people at church and our friends. And it became a really sweet time. It's become a really sweet time of praying on Sunday mornings. So I would just encourage you with those practical things. Then I was thinking about what gets in the way of those things, of the priorities, because we all say they're priorities, right? We all know being in the Word and prayer is a priority. But what gets in the way of that sometimes is our schedule and our activities. And so this is just a practical thing, but I think sometimes we verbally say, these are my priorities, the things we just talked about in prayer and reading, but practically we're not living that out because we are doing so many more things that drain us from being able to do that. And so we really need to ask ourselves, am I just verbally saying this or am I also practically saying this? Do I tell my kids the greatest need is a Savior, their greatest need is to love the Lord? Or are they sensing that they need to achieve well academically, or that they need to be better on the sports team, or that why can't they have better friends? So what is the most important thing? Really, truly, and as you get into junior high, the friends thing actually like trumps everything else. But as you're doing all of this, what is at the heart of it? You know, what was at the heart? And so I'll give you an example from my life. I was seeing a lot of sin in myself with being harsh towards my children and speaking angrily. Anyone else? And I realized I needed to confess it, right? Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to study the Word about it. What does the Bible say about it? Okay, I know. Put off this, put on this. But really, a practical thing that helped me was I had to say no to things, and that I was putting myself in a pressure cooker. I love my Instapot, but I don't like being in my Instapot. And so putting myself in those pressure cooker situations made it so that it was so tense that I had so many things going on and so many things to get out the door and things I had to do that if they needed my help, it was like annoying to me. And that's not what it should be. And if they were slow about something, I spoke impatiently to them. And so I realized I was creating an environment where I was easily sinning and they were easily sinning. And so I needed to step back and say no to some things and maybe even do less social things so that, which are good, so that I could love my family and really love the Lord better. And I'm not saying, you know, go live on an island or something. That sounds nice, but I'm not saying that. But I am saying we have to really practically prioritize our lives so that we can live out what we're saying. And I think sometimes by telling our kids why we're choosing to not do something could speak real volumes to them. So in that, I had to confess and ask the kids to help me with those things. So when those situations still come around, I'm still asking the Lord for help with my patience. But I think priorities in how we live is a really big deal, especially in this area. So are there some good things that you're doing that are not the best things? And maybe reevaluate, pray about it, and maybe take some things off your schedule. So, of course, we are here to talk about obedience tonight, and this is my last point. And I love this little notebook. It's kind of cheesy. It's very cheesy. Look at that. They're touching each other's noses. So cheesy. But this is great. It's called For Righteousness, For Instruction in Righteousness. And you're welcome to look at this, too. But this is a great guide for me and for my kids. So let's say you're dealing with the sin of laziness, anger, backbiting, fighting. There's plenty to choose from. But you choose one of those things that you're dealing with in your home or in your own heart. And in here, this is a lovely compilation of scriptures that address that sin. So let's just take patience. It would talking about, you know, anger. And then it would give you examples of people in the scripture who had anger and what the outcome was. And then people who exemplified patience and what the outcome to that was. And then it gives you passages that are good for memory. It's almost like doing a topical Bible study. And I found that very helpful when I'm addressing sin in my own life that I want to change. And then it also is very helpful for me when I'm addressing sin in my kids' heart that I want to call them to obedience on. So I want to just encourage you ladies that as you're in this process of putting off the old self and putting on the new self and walking in obedience, that at the heart of it, of course, is our love for the Lord. And just because we're outwardly conforming and doing the right things doesn't always mean that the heart is in the right place. And only we know what's in our heart. And so that private relationship with the Lord, of course, is the thing that matters the most. And so I would ask all of you to take time to evaluate that, but also to encourage that as being the most important thing in your home for your children, rather than all the outward expectations. Yes, of course, they need to be respectful and do their homework and clean their room, but at the heart, we really want to instill that love for the Lord and trust Him for their salvation. So I hope that this has helped you, and maybe we can help each other and keep each other accountable for not making our walk with the Lord cumbersome and really complicated, but instead deepening it in a real fruitful way that can transform us to look more and more like Him instead of more and more like maybe another image that we've created for ourselves. So I'd like to pray for us, and then we can, I guess, talk at our tables. Lord God, I just thank You that You did send Your Son to perfectly cover our sins. Thank You for Jesus who did die for us so that we even don't have to be slaves to sin anymore, but that we are called Your child. And Lord, thank You for making us Your children. Thank You that we can walk in love. And thank You that You've given us that ability. Lord, I pray for these ladies that they would seek You and that we would all desire to align ourselves under Your will for us, that we would walk obediently, Lord, in a manner that pleases You, in a manner that's worthy of the calling to which you've called us. I pray that we would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we would love one another well, Lord. I pray that we would be wise mothers that direct our children towards obedience, and not just outward obedience, Lord, but a love of you, that they would see a genuine relationship that we have with you and desire to have that, that our homes would be homes full of love, Lord, where you are on display and our relationship with you is on display, and the reality of our failings are there and the realities of your grace is there, Lord, because we know where we fail and where we are weak, your grace abounds. So we thank you for that, and we trust you for that, and I just pray that our time tonight would be fruitful together in your name. Amen.